Last weekend, the Edmonton Eskimos unofficially began the 2016 campaign. They had a camp in Florida. Mike Riley was there, head coach Jason Moss, and, of course, general manager Ed Hervey and a lot of his scouts were there as well. He joins us now. Ed, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing,
Jay? Excellent. These camps, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, it wouldn't have been looked as anything, but considering the amount of talent you've uncovered at these camps the last few years, a lot of people are like, okay, is there the new Dexter McCoyle? What was the talent like at this year's camp in Florida, and or should we be expecting some signings from this camp?
I mean, like every camp, you don't really spend a lot of time talking about, who's there. There were some guys there that we feel can help improve our football team for sure. It's going to be in their hands whether they put it together when training camp starts. But we do feel pretty good about the level of competition that's coming into camp this year. But as far as comparing them to previous players, I won't go that far just yet. We'll give them the floor to showcase what they have.
Yeah, and I never necessarily meant comparing them to an individual, just players who have the opportunity, Ed, to come in and not only just compete for a job, but maybe grab one of the starting jobs, because right now there seems to be more openings in your secondary on defense than there is anywhere else.
Yeah, I think, but like any team, especially a team that's going through a few changes, every player comes in as an unknown and they make a name for themselves. I don't think anyone can look at any of the players that we have on our teams or any other teams in this league that have become superstars and said that they believe that they were going to be destined to be that. So, that's the beauty of our sport, is that guys get the opportunity to come in as relatively unknown players and, make a name for themselves. So we're looking forward to some guys that come in and compete in those areas where we have openings. And, we'll keep plugging away at it till we get it right. But we feel like the competition is going to be intense at those positions that you mentioned.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Ed, the secondary, it's so hard to play for a lot of first-timers, especially at the halfback position, because a lot of them just aren't used to seeing receivers at the waggle position. When you look at the loss of Grimes, and at least for the time being, who knows if he's like Matt O'Donnell and comes back at the middle of the season, is that for you right now maybe the biggest question mark, is to see who can handle that halfback position, especially because of the waggle ability and those guys taking on usually the best receivers in the league in the slot?
No, I mean, we knew that going into the offseason was going to be an issue as far as, just having a no returning player there. But, I mean, we're handling it the way that we would handle any other departure that we have. You go out there, you scout, you look for the players, and, we gave the coaches an opportunity to see the players and, that competed at this spot for the last several days in Florida. We have a good feel for some of the guys that we're inviting. And, as far as getting used to the waggle, that's anyway. Grimes didn't understand the waggle when he got here. Otha Foster, you go down the line, it's a skill that has to be taught. That's why we rely on the coaches to teach the proper technique to do those things. We have full confidence in our coaching staff that they'll have the ability to teach these players that technique, which will allow them to have success on the field.
Currently, I see 7 running backs listed on your roster: Shakir Bell, Grisby, McKnight, Milton, Morris, Shavers, and White. That's a high number for running backs at camp, Ed. Do you expect that many to come to training camp, or will we see some moves before now and the start of training camp as far as the running back position?
Yeah, you'll definitely see some moves here in the next little bit with that position. We won't be bringing all those guys to camp.
Okay. Let's look at some of the other, I guess, areas for your team now. We're heading into the closer to the CFL draft. I know you're a huge sports fan. I know you follow the NFL. 2 huge trades here in the last month, moving up to get the number 1 and the number 2 pick. Will you have a lot of interest to try to move up substantially at this year's draft?
No.
How come?
I mean, we're quite pleased where we are. We feel like our depth at Canadian is pretty solid. There's not a player in the draft that we look at that we have to give up a lot to go get. I think we've done a pretty good job with our offensive line over the last several years as far as Canadian depth is concerned. That would be one of the areas that, you know, you've heard me mention, you know, in years past. You know, we're going to always look at the offensive line first, but, you know, given the depth that we have at that position right now, I think we're sitting at a position where, you know, we could potentially draft the best player available that comes to us. But as far as moving up, I'm not certain that there's anyone that we're looking at, you know, mortgaging anything on to move up 4 or 5 spots to get the player. So I think we're pretty solid where we are right now.
We hear it every year, and you've done a lot of Canadian scouting, Ed, before you became the general manager, so I think you're well-versed at the draft. We always say the depth of this year's draft. Is it a deep draft? Is it top-heavy? How would you summarize this year's draft class?
I mean, there is talent in this pool. Obviously, you're going to find guys in the mid to later rounds that are going to be able to fit what you're doing. A lot of times the draft is based on the patience of the team and the coaching staff. You know, there are players that have a lot of ability. Sometimes it's just a matter of the fit. But the amount of movement that happens in this league, sometimes with coaches, you know, you get a team, you get a player that's drafted, and the coaches have big plans for him, and then another staff comes in, and, you know, things change. You know, this is why, you know, our organization, you know, we draft the Canadian. The Canadian players are belong to the organization, because you got to find guys that can fit and play for, you know, in any system. And that, you know, you want to find guys that are athletic enough to do so. As far as where the talent pool stops, you know, I couldn't really tell you that, you know, as far as what round it stops in, because I would say that, you know, there's players that you're going to find that won't be, they're not given a lot of the hype that some of the other players are getting, but more often than not will have longer careers than the guys who are being hyped. But I will say that the depth of the draft is pretty good as far as what level of guys being able to come in and actually impact your ratio. You know, I won't know that, the answer to that, until the guys actually get here. But I will say this, that over the last several years, the pool of talent has increased a bit to where you can find some players that, you know, you can definitely not only draft, but actually get games out of, and will be able to impact your roster more than just, you know, filling a roster spot.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. Ed, in a few of the last drafts, the guys you've taken in the first round or high ended up staying in the, you know, signing on in the NFL and have yet to come to the CFL. When you look this season, are you comfortable if you draft a guy who's got that potential? Would you be looking more at somebody that you're confident that would at least get a few years here before potentially going to the NFL?
No, I mean, we're going to take the best player on the board. It's not our problem that a lot of the Canadians don't want to play in the CFL. You know, they want to play in the NFL, and that's what's happening with your top tier Canadian players. You know, I mean, we're going to take the best player there. You know, a lot of them don't want to play up here. You know, they want to play in the NFL. So, but, you know, I mean, you don't know how long their NFL careers are going to last. But as far as, you know, the selection, the last couple, or the selection of Austin Pastor and Stephen Charles, you know, I'd do it again. I mean, those two are elite players. You never know how long a player is going to last in the NFL. We've seen guys with lesser talent last longer, and guys with more talent, you know, they're out faster. You know, I mean, you just don't know. But as far as going into this draft and where, you know, we look at who we would select and where and in what position, I mean, when we get, I think we select number 8 overall, and depending on which player is at that position for us, you know, we'll make the selection at that time. If it's a guy that's in the NFL or the NFL is sniffing around and we feel like he's the best fit for what we're doing, as long as he's not drafted by an NFL team, we would definitely look at him. But, again, I'm not going to bypass a talented player for fear that he won't show up to camp in 2 or 3 years. But I also understand that there are a lot of players – in Canada, with their abilities, they're looking to go to the NFL, which impacts the pool of players that you get from that top tier round.
Now, some people listening might say, why you said number eight? It's because the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have forfeited their pick in the first round because they chose Garrett Wagoner in the supplemental draft last year. So there's only eight picks in the first round. So you kind of move up one automatically with the Bombers forfeiting their pick. And I know, Ed, you've talked openly about the need for depth on the Canadian offensive line. You've definitely built that up the last few years with your organization. Is there another position on your team that you would like to add Canadian talent to outside of the offensive line?
I mean, if I tell you that, then I'd be giving away my strategy. I mean, we're always going to look at the offensive line first, and then you take a look onto the defensive line is the second. Our philosophy is build your team inside out. Good offensive linemen and good defensive linemen are very hard to come by. And then, outside of that, generally, you can kind of find those guys, or those guys come available in free agency. The skilled guys, you tend to hit free agency a little bit more than some of the bigger guys do, from my experience. So, we're going to look inside out, and best player available to us, we'll take, unless it's just a can't miss on the board, someone that we didn't expect that was bypassed for whatever reason. If that player is available to us, we would definitely investigate it and make that a reality. But as it sits right now, we're open to any player that, can help us, but, we're not solely stuck on a position at this time.
Ed Hervey, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Ed, there's been some whispers again, and this was there last year, and it didn't transpire, that, Patrick Watkins maybe contemplating their retirement. He's 33 years of age. Have you had any conversations with him? Do you expect him at training camp?
That's news to me. From the conversations that I've had with our coaches, staff over the weekends, they've spoke with Pat, and he's excited about coming to camp and looking forward to being here and excited about the future, this year. And so, that's not something that I'm overly concerned with. I believe that Pat Watkins is the consummate professional, and if he were contemplating retirement, that news would have eventually got to my desk by now. So as far as I see it, we're looking forward to him, and we're expecting him to be a training camp.
Ed, the Eskimos, the last few years, I think it's safe to say at the start of the season, the defense was the forte of the team. This year, you look at it, your offensive line's intact. You got the quarterback who won 10 in a row to end the season, was the MVP. Your receiving, you got two dominant receivers. You've added Getzlaff. You got a boatload of running backs. Offense definitely seems to be the strength. That's where you played. The Eskimos, Jason Moss was on the show last week. They're going to go a lot more hurry-up offense, seemingly a more exciting offense. Is that how you view this year's team in the offensive and a big difference in how you'll see play calling from your team this year compared to last year offensively?
No, I think what we're looking for is to maintain a level of consistency. This is a different coaching staff, different coaching philosophy with the same expectations. Go out there and win football games. I don't think, as far as excitement is concerned, yes, we have an offensive head coach. And there appears to be strength on the offensive side, and, fans love to see points scored and, the ball moved and different things like that. But, you have to wait till we get to, to training camp and see what we look like as a whole. We just want to be a football team that's, efficient, mistake-free, plays hard-nosed football, plays Eskimo football, and goes out there, plays 60 minutes, and go out there and given every opportunity to win, be in every game, and give our fans what they deserve. A team that's competitive night in and night out. So, I believe that, there are some, great anticipation from many people to see what the offense potentially could look like. Having had a chance to look at it in minicamp, I will say that, Mike looks very comfortable in this new offense. Adarius was down there as well. They both were very happy and very excited about the opportunities that this offense brings and the hurry up style that they were working on. Sky's the limit for what they can do, but again, the work has to be put in, and we're not a complacent group. I know that, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. But if we have to win a game 9-3, 9-6, we'll take it. If it ends up being where the team scores in the high 20s, low 30s to win games, I'm sure we'll take that as well. But the ultimate goal is to win games, be competitive, and be the get the fewest amount of penalties in the league. Obviously you don't want any, but we know that's kind of impossible to do. But we definitely want to be a disciplined football team in that process.
Now, Ed, being a receiver, having played the position, what's the biggest challenge in a hurry-up offense from a receiver's perspective?
Well, I don't know if there's a challenge. I think when you come into a hurry-up offense, you got to be in great condition. Okay. That's number one. You better be in the best physical condition to be able to run and understand that you're not going to get the rest time that you normally would get in a standard play calling setting where you do a play, you walk back, get to the huddle, there's a rest period. So, you want that. Number two, being able to understand the playbook, understand the concepts of what's being called, and then be able to overcome the fatigue that sets in, because generally when fatigue sets in on most, they tend to forget. So you have to overcome that, and that, again, goes back to conditioning. And then also being able to make plays while under duress. So if you can do those things, you'll be fine. As far as understanding your plays, understanding what's being called will give you a comfort and a confidence being out there. You won't have to worry about stressing as far as understanding where you're supposed to be. And then if you work out and you condition appropriately during the off season, it should be pretty relatively easy once you learn the offense and learn the concepts of what's being called.
Ed, always good to catch up with you. What's on this, I guess, the timetable now for the GM of the Eskimos in the next month leading up to the draft?
Next week is the draft. You start working on that. And that's the, we start breaking down the film of that. We got to get our roster down to 75 before, by the beginning of the month of May. But again, making sure that the draft is a high priority at this point. And again, continuing to still search out and have our guys looking for players that could potentially help us, looking for opportunities that could happen in the draft, not necessarily in the first round, but possibly in some other rounds, depending on what kind of needs we may see or that could help our roster. We're continuously looking at that. So, but next week is rolling the sleeves up 100% in the breaking down of the draft prospects, calling them, interviewing them, getting to know them a little bit more. But I have to say that, Rob Ralph, has done a fantastic job. He's our director of Canadian scouting. He's done a great job, with that. So, we're in good hands there, and we're looking forward to, to keeping the process going and, looking forward to the start of training camp in the season.
And one last one, not football related. Mark Mageau asked this question a few weeks ago, and I was like, I want to hear Ed Hervey's answer. With Kobe Bryant retiring, who would you rank the greatest Laker of all time?
Magic Johnson.
Okay. Hard to disagree. Who would be two?
Kareem?
And then Kobe?
Kobe. Yeah, Jerry West, Kobe. Yeah, Kobe.
Kobe?
Kobe by a hair because I've seen him play. Jerry West, still the logo, right? So you got got to give him that.
That's very true. Ed, good luck. I don't know if studying is the right word, but I guess recapping what you guys will do in the draft leading up to it. Appreciate your time.
No problem, man. We got to get the dates together also for the
charity dinner. Yes, yeah. I think we might have one booked in May before training camp starts with the boys from I think it was Superstore, the boys who bought it. So we will get those guys set up. Yes, now that I just need Riley to be in town, and then we'll get all of you guys together and we'll do that. So I appreciate the reminder.
Yeah, no problem.